Praise God for the rain, huh?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Pastor Bill warned me about certain little idiosyncrasies here at the pulpit and how things slide around on you, so I'll try not to embarrass myself. Pastor Thomas this morning already tried to get me to do that. He says you can't get in the pulpit without your cowboy hat on, but Thomas. We all have to draw a line somewhere, right? Before we begin this morning, I have an order of business that I want to take care of you guys, with you guys, and with Pastor Bill as well. And I'll just preface my comments by saying Proverbs 27:2 says, "Let another man praise you, and not your own mouth; a stranger, and not your own lips." And it was about a year ago that Gail and I contracted COVID, and Pastor Bill and our home church, you guys, began to pray for us. And for those of you that have come to know me, you know that I tend to kind of go all in on most things in life. And so I followed up COVID with the viral pneumonia. And getting over that, they did an x-ray of my chest to make sure I was over that. And so I followed that up with a diagnosis of stage 3 lung cancer. I followed that up a month and a half later with a heart attack, which I followed up with chemotherapy and radiation. And just so I couldn't be outdone and had a bigger story than everybody else around me, I finished it up with a diagnosis of a rare disease called brachial neuritis, which left me with about 50% use of my right arm. And I just want to say that Gail and I owe Pastor Bill and y'all an eternal thank you and gratitude. And it's simply because of God's grace and his unmerited favor towards us and your prayers that I stand in Pastor Bill's pulpit this morning. God tells us in James 5:16 that the effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that's a true word, is it not? Yes. Amen. Thank you. Our passage this morning by way of preparation is John 17, and we will be in verse 22 and verse 23, and we will go there momentarily. But first of all, I praise God for water because I'm dry, but I praise God for the water that we got. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I am thankful this morning to be in your house and to be here among your church. And I'm reminded that other than yourself, there are only two other things in the universe that are eternal: the soul of a man and your word. I'm humbled this morning, Lord, to be counted worthy to handle both. We thank you for the water that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the rain that's so needed in our part of the country. And we are just reminded that you are faithful and that you are good. I pray this morning, Lord, that I will be less and you will be more. And that this church is gathered with teachable hearts to hear what your Spirit might say to us all. And we'd ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've just lived through, as many of you know, unprecedented times. And pastors all over America have had to lead God's people through a period of time that we never thought we would see. And in my opinion, Pastor Bill has done a masterful job of that. And I'm just happy to say that it was his task to lead us through the pandemic and not mine. That was a tough assignment right there. And I don't envy him, did not envy him that. Gail and I made Calvary Fort Worth our church home in the middle of that pandemic. And it's been a blessing for me and her to see Pastor bring us back together with relaunch and then rebuild, and now revolution. And as we moved into revolution, I've heard this reoccurring theme, especially in the last couple of months, in pastor's messages, and he's asked the question, why is the church in America so powerless today? You know, he challenged us specifically a couple of weeks ago when he asked the question in a little bit different way, but he said, isn't the same Holy Spirit that lived in the great Apostle Paul the same Spirit that lives in each of us today? You know, the implication of that question is that if it is the same Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and Paul was able to accomplish so many things in his life that were beyond human understanding, beyond human comprehension, beyond human expectation or ability, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life, then shouldn't we be walking in that same Spirit? And if we are, shouldn't we be producing the same type of fruit? I can see y'all aren't convinced this morning. We'll see if the Holy Spirit can convince you. I always contemplate such questions when they're brought up from the pulpit because I want to know what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to me personally. I don't know about you, but I want to know what's on God's heart and how it should affect my personal walk of faith. And as Gail and I have sought God's will in our own lives and where he might have us serve in the church here, we've been led to the heart-to-heart ministry, among other places. And this week, our study has led us to a chapter in the book that we're studying, a study in marriage called Happily Married by Pastor Greg Laurie. But the chapter was labeled Beloved. And in that chapter, Pastor Greg asks the question, what helps you believe that you are the Father's beloved child? And what hinders you from fully believing it? So let me ask you this morning the same question that I asked the men in my little breakout group of that ministry last night. Do you believe that God the Father loves you as much as he loves Jesus Christ? Now, that's a tough question. Amen? That's a tough question. None of the men in my group last night, including myself, said, yes, God the Father loves me as much as he loves Jesus. We all said, man, that's hard to get there. I'm not sure I quite believe that. It may be that the answer to that question alone may have something to do with the reason that the Christian church in America today is powerless. Here's another question. Do you see yourself? Do we see ourselves as God sees us? Let's begin a search in the Bible this morning for that answer. Let's look at John 17:22, where we see Jesus there interceding in prayer for his disciples, where it's written, and the glory which you gave me, Jesus speaking, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, and they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. I think that answers our question, doesn't it? Amen. You know, we've heard the saying, many of us, through all the years that we've been Christians, we've heard that saying that our spirituality or our faith is about relationship and not religion, right? Ever heard that? Amen. All of us have heard that. But if that thought came across your mind like it did mine, that I cannot possibly be as loved by God the Father as his Son, then I think we have a misunderstanding of what our relationship with our Savior is, or at least a misunderstanding of how God sees those that have placed their faith in Jesus. In this passage here before us this morning, Jesus pointedly says that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. It's rather apparent from the text that Jesus believes that our Father in heaven loves us as equally or as much as he does him. If you believe that wholeheartedly, without any doubting, would that revelation change the way you thought about your relationship with Christ? Absolutely. I see a few heads. Let me ask you this. Do you see yourself as a son or a daughter of God? I can tell you are not convinced. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Or what about John? 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Look at the person on your left. Look at the person on your right. And just for a moment, forget that you've been married to him for 40 years. No sharp elbows this morning. But look at them and for a minute think, this is not my best friend. This is not my wife. This is not my husband. This is not my son. This is not my daughter. This is not my nephew. But this is a child of the living God. This is a son of God Most High. This is a daughter of God Most High. Now, if you realize that, if that revelation came to you, let me ask you this. Would that affect the way you deal with them? Men, would that affect the way you talk to your wife? Boy, it should. Are we commanded in the Word of God to be more Christ-like? Yes. We are. Romans 8:29, Paul speaking of God the Father says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. How does God see us right now? Are we already conformed to his image in God's eyes? Are we conformed? Are we qualified to sit with him in heaven? Yes. Yes. Ephesians 2:6. And God raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, this morning as Pastor Bill and I were praying, I told him, I said, this is one of the best explanations I've ever heard about the way he puts it and teaches the church about very difficult theological principles. And he says here, God sees us, what? Perfect in position, but not yet in practice. Exactly. And because of this theological principle of substitutionary atonement, right? We have received imputed righteousness. God has paid our sin debt with the blood of his Son Jesus. That's an imputed righteousness because he died a substitutionary death on the cross for us. We are perfect in position, but not yet in practice. And is that the only attribute of Christ that has been imputed to us? No. Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he called. Whom he called, those he justified. Whom he justified, those he glorified. Justification. Just as if I'd never sinned. Right? We are sinless in God's sight because of our belief in Jesus. And what about glorified? It says here in Romans 8:30 that we've already been glorified, past tense. That it's a completed action. And as we see Jesus say in John 17:22, he says in that passage there, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. That's a past tense, already done. But glorification is not yet totally complete, is it? That's going to happen. That's going to happen in the future. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Future tense. Let me ask you another hard question this morning since y'all are not convinced that what I'm telling you is true. Is it possible for you to be as holy as God? Does the Bible tell us we can be as holy as God? I think it does. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. I'm sure you all know what gird up means, don't you? It means take your tunic. Sorry. I don't have a tunic, but in that time, it meant take your tunic, stuff it in your belt, be prepared for battle. That allowed a man a chance to move around, a chance to run. So Peter tells us here, gird up the loins of your mind. Be ready. Get ready. Things are going to be happening. Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Look up there, right where we are in 17, and look up there, verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. To be sanctified, to be set apart, to be declared pure and holy in God's sight. It's interesting to me that we've been given all the attributes of Christ positionally, if not yet perfectly, but yet we don't believe it. The Bible teaches us that God the Father loves us as much as he loves Jesus, and that he sees us as sons and daughters because of our belief in him, and that we can be conformed to the image of Jesus and become more Christ-like. And it also teaches that because of the imputed righteousness we are credited to our account, this imputed righteousness by Christ, the sacrificial atonement of Christ on the cross, we're positionally seated with Jesus in the heavenlies, where we are justified, sanctified, glorified. That's how our Heavenly Father sees us. If we believe God's word is truth, as it proclaims to be, then these things are not theoretical principles, are they? They're not maybes. They're not, boy, I sure wish that was me. Is unbelief sinful? It is sinful, isn't it? And who is the harbinger of unbelief? Satan's handprints are all over that, aren't they? If it's a lie, if it's deceiving, if it's unbelief, if it's a twisting of the word, we don't have to look too far to know who that is. Is it possible that our misunderstanding of our relationship with our Lord can keep us from walking with real power here on this planet? And is it also possible that this relationship being misunderstood or out of whack affects this relationship right here? Disunity in the church, you know, name it. Fill in the blank, right? Attack in the home. John 14:12, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Is it possible that the church is not living up to its full God-given potential because we are not asking for the God-given power necessary to do so? I think so too. And when we do ask, do we always ask with the proper motive? I've been asking the Lord for 25 years for a new bass boat. Let me back up. That's not quite true. For any bass boat. A few years back, he put it upon somebody's heart to give me a used little 12-foot long rowboat. Skip. I get in that, man. Hey, yeah. Catch bass, baby. Yes, improper motives. If we don't see ourselves loved by God the Father as much as He loves Jesus, aren't we tempted to make up for that shortcoming in some other way? I think we are. I think we are. I think we shop. I think we, name it. Anything to take our minds off of that inadequacy we feel. If we don't see ourselves as a child of God, we're tempted to treat each other differently. If we don't see ourselves as imputed righteousness of Christ in our lives, we're tempted to be lazy. We're tempted not to be about God's call on our life. So how do we begin to see ourselves as Jesus sees us? How do we begin to understand how God the Father sees us? Could it be as simple as asking God to empower us with the Holy Spirit? How many of you got up this morning and said, "Morning, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the water." I see a few hands. Awesome. How many said, "Fill me with your Spirit today"? Not so many hands. You guys realize that you're made of clay? Do you realize you're dirt clod? Yeah, the Lord added water and there you were. Yeah. That by its very nature makes you leaky. Right? The mud pots leak. And they have to be filled continually. And so that's us. Lord, come fill me afresh. Fill me afresh. Empower me to do what you're calling me to do. Make me a useful vessel in your kingdom. Help me get up off the church pew. Luke 11, verse 11, it says, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him?" What a contrast. What a contrast. Anybody ever bought their kid a new truck when he got old enough to drive? Well, not now because of the price of pickups, but I started driving 1972, I think it was. My dad gave me a 10-year-old truck to drive. I'll never forget it. I was sitting there one evening eating supper, and he says, "How's that truck driving?" And I said, "Well, Dad, the back tires are a little bald, you know?" He says, "Boom, boom, 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 boom. Get a job." Only time I ever heard my father sing. You know, if we can give our children good gifts, why can't we ask for the Holy Spirit in our lives? Man, that's a disconnect. That's not accepting the power that God has given you. That's not really enjoying everything that God has paid for on the cross for you. For me, this is, how long do I got? What time do I have to quit? 10? 11? Oh, good. Awesome. For me, this last year, it's been amazing because it's become obvious to Gail and me that my life has been preserved for a little while longer. The God-given purpose in my life, which really changes every day, is still not complete in God's sight. When I got sick, it's a good time to it's a good time to confess. When I got sick, when I realized I was sick, been sick a long time, me and Gail spent several days just crying. Why? We've been married 2 years, come October 28th, and some of you know our story. I first tried to get her to kiss me when I was 14. She told me I was crazy. Go away. We went through high school together and didn't run in the same circles, but then we went on and graduated from high school. We went our own way, and we spent 50 years raising our own families and living life. And about 5 years ago, we reconnected on Facebook, and on On the 28th of every month. Amen. On the 28th of every month, yes. We're going to be married for some period of time. 25th anniversary, all the time. We'll be married for 2 years. And you know, the thing of it was, is why would the Lord lead us to be married, to really feel like we've found that one in life that we want to really go through the golden years with, and then that stops so quickly? You know, through prayer and through the Lord's working and speaking to me in my life, I told Gail one morning, I said, you know, the bottom line is I'm immortal. And you're immortal. Because you're not going to go home to be with the Lord until the Lord says so. And until then, there's nobody, no power on this earth that could take you out of here. And on the converse side of that coin, you're not going to live one day longer than God has ordained for you. And so the question is, do you have to have some terminal illness to really begin to serve the Lord? Do you have to have something happen to you like that where you can start saying, man, I better get on the stick because I'm working on limited time here? Man, don't wait, brother. Don't wait, sister. God has work for you to do for each and every one of us. We live in exciting times, albeit hard times. But look around you and understand what's happening in the church. Gail and I have the benefit of coming into this body. Some of y'all have been here a long time. And you know, the longer and more familiar we become with something, the less we see the little things of it, I think. Any of you men ever taken your wife for granted? No, don't answer that question. But you know, we had the benefit of coming into this body, and I told Pastor Bill the second or third Sunday we were here, I said, man, this body loves well. This body loves well. And it's, you'd have to be a blind person, spiritually blinded, to not see what God is doing in this church. We had 30 couples sign up for the marriage ministry this go around. I have 4 couples in the ministry of just the 10 or 12 guys that I'm dealing with in our small group breakout. That I have 4 couples that those men and those women are less than 2-3 years in Christ. Many of them under the age of 40. Every Sunday morning I come to only second service because that's where the really holy people come. And those of us that like to sleep late. But every Sunday service, second service, Pastor Bill tells us about somebody that's given their life to Christ in the tent ministry. Right? The tent ministry is exploding. And missions, can you believe it? Missions? I can't even believe how much that orphanage has grown in the 2 years I've been here. Look at Steve and Carol. Who wants to pick up and go to Mexico right now in that climate, in that environment? Man, that's a call of God on their lives, and they deserve our support. What about Haltom Christian School? Blowing up. Blowing up. The Holy Spirit is itching to make himself known here in a bigger way. And I tell you, Pastor Bill, I won't, I'll keep his confidence, but I tell you, great things are coming here towards the end of the year. His messages are going to be something else. The Holy Spirit is healing in our church. He's growing our church. Opportunities here to serve are limitless. Missions, community outreach, any number of ministries in the church, prayer ministry, cafe, cleaning ministry. You know, find somebody just to be a mentor to. Beloved, you're precious in the sight of God. You're precious to Pastor Bill. You're precious to me. I would say, stand up. Stand up and accept the position that you have in Christ. Live the life that He has died to give you. Quit believing the wiles of the devil. Get involved. God loves you with everything He has, right? Just as much as He loved Jesus. Don't waste a minute being powerless in this life. Don't waste another minute being powerless in this church. Be a change agent where you are, because the time is short. I don't know about y'all. Anybody got any unsaved kids? Anybody got any unsaved grandkids? Anybody got any unsaved great-grandkids? I love them. I want them to come to heaven with me. So it's good that the Lord's given us a little more time to wait. But, you know, sometimes you can't witness to your family, right? Y'all with me? So maybe you sitting there, you're the person that's supposed to be witnessing to my family. But yet you find pursuits that are more important than that. Maybe a reprioritization, maybe a realization that your relationship that you're supposed to have with our Father is not just exactly what you think it is, because you haven't understood till this point in time how He sees you. I pray that you're encouraged this morning. Pastor Bill tells us all the time that first service is just people jumping up and down and howling. Is he lying on y'all? Yeah, there she goes in the front. Whoop, whoop, whoop. I pray you're encouraged this morning. I pray you feel loved. I pray that this church is one of those churches where people come and feel loved. I've had people that are brand new in the church tell me, man, I can't believe. I had a young man tell me last night at the end of a heart-to-heart ministry. He says, you know, it's 45 minutes after the meeting ended and people are still standing here. And, you know, first thing I looked for was, did they pick the food up? And the crazy thing was there was no food out. You know, people just want to fellowship. They want to be around like-minded people. And, you know, if we're supposed to not forsake the gathering of the saints, here's the reality of it. You can't minister to me unless you're in my presence. And the gift that the Holy Spirit has given you, I might need to be ministered to in that way. So do that. Go and do that. Don't be powerless anymore. Ten 10:03. I guess I better let you guys go. Y'all ready for a cup of coffee? Pastor Bill said he was buying breakfast burritos. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your church. We are thankful, Lord, that we can come and that we can talk about hard truths, theological truths. And it's easy to bring these things up in a church that is so well taught. But we just pray, Lord, as you have put it upon my heart this week and convicted me, help me to understand what I look like to you. Help me to understand that everything that I lack in this life, that I lack in this nature, I possess simply because I'm in Christ. It's by that power and in accordance with your will that we become change agents in our churches, in our families, in our society. And so help us to walk in that fullness, Lord, that you've planted out there for each of us, that you've put inside each of us. Send your people into the world today to be salt and to be light. Protect them and keep them. And more importantly, Lord, let them understand that you love them as much as you loved your own son. And we'd ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.